Eating on a budget. This couldn't be a more timely topic. Today we'll give you our top 10 list to losing weight without breaking the bank, plus the web report and your questions and comments, all on episode number 64 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is number 64, and how are you doing on this lovely evening we're recording, Jeff?
I'm doing excellent because it's actually really spring now, and we get lots of sunlight, the weather's improving, so I'm just in a great mood lately. So let's get right in and see how your weight loss was last week, Russ.
Well, let's see here. Weighing in this week at 238 pounds. And as far as my goals, I'm looking at probably a good 10 out of 10, man. I just am in the mode as far as food goes. Really doing great there. Exercise goals, I'm going to give about a 5 out of 10. I'm still ramping up after my ankle injury, but a few more calories being burned there this week. As far as motivation this week, I pulled a big stack of pants down from the closet and tried them on. And these are all fitting really. These are old pants, but still, like, some of them still had stickers on them when I bought them new. And then I gained weight and never got into them. So motivation wise, I'm fitting into these things. I'm feeling great. And I'm going to give a good 9 out of 10.
That's awesome. So what is your range of pant sizes? Like, what's your smallest pant size that you have going all the way up to your largest?
Well, the largest one, were probably 44s. With the expandable waistband. Those were sad, sad pants. I know what? My wife will often tell me, you know what? You just need to look good no matter what size you are. And so she would buy these pants, and they were expandable waist. And yeah, I drank that Kool-Aid for a while. But now slowly gone down, 42s, 40s. And right now, a lot of the ones that I'm fitting into are 38s, which is great. I've got a few 36 in there. As I was going through the pile, and that's the next step. But yeah, so from 44 plus to 38 right now, and hopefully getting to 36 here in the next few months.
Well, that is excellent to hear. But let's move into our email and comment section.
All right, our first email comes from Scott. He is from Michigan, and he writes, "Hey guys, love the show. I'm a new listener and have begun my weight loss / lifestyle changing journey." So he has a question. "I hope I have not screwed up. Uh-oh. I do not know how long it takes to kill your metabolism by eating too little, but I've discovered that I cut my calories too far. I'm currently 333 pounds, down from about 370 in the last year or so. Recently, I have really gotten charged on losing weight again. My goal weight is going to be around 230. I'm 6'1" tall and built like an offensive lineman. I've calculated my BMR and multiplied by 1.375 and found that my maintenance weight caloric intake will be about 3,000 calories.
So he's figured that to maintain this weight after he loses all his weight, he has to keep eating at 3,000 calories. And he continues, "The problem is that I had cut my caloric intake for about the last 3 weeks to about 1,700 to 1,900 calories per day. I am eating about 6 times per day and exercising about 4 days per week. So, since this 1,700 to 1,900 calorie level is significantly lower than my 3,000 calorie maintenance level, is that too low? I'm wondering if I should bump it up to closer to 2,400 to 2,500 calories a day. Since I have about 100 pounds to lose, I'd rather do it a little faster, but I know patience is the key, yada yada. But I like to do this in 6 to 8 months rather than a year." And he has one more question. "I've heard of something called metabolism reset. How is this accomplished and how often should this be done? Thanks again, Scott from Michigan."
All right. So let's review and simplify these numbers now. Currently, your BMR at 330 pounds is 2,800 calories. This is the level that your body will burn if you were in a coma, you were laying down, not doing anything with no activity. It is also that level that you should never eat below. Using the calculator, and we have one that we've started over at fat2fitradio.com/BMR, so take a look at that. But we calculated that if you want to maintain your weight at 330 pounds and not gain or lose anything, you would need to eat just under 3,900 calories per day.
That's right. We checked out your numbers, and you are right that if your goal is 230 pounds, you will be able to maintain that weight for the rest of your life if you eat right around the 3,000 calorie mark. We always say to eat and live the lifestyle of that thinner person you want to become, and you will eventually get there. If you start eating right now at your goal weight calories, that is a deficit of 900 calories per day at the start. The difference between 3,900 calories at your current weight to 3,000 calories at your goal weight. That is technically 1.8 pounds per week of weight loss right now. But this will start to slow down as you get closer to your goal weight.
Right. When people have a lot of weight to lose, well over 100 pounds, say, it's possible that their maintenance level calories at their goal weight might be below their current BMR at their current heavyweight. Your numbers are very close. By our calculator, your maintenance calorie level at 230 pounds should be about 3,000 calories. Your BMR at your current weight, again, is roughly 2,800 calories. So you won't be eating below your current BMR level.
And you asked if 1,700 to 1,900 calories was too little for you to eat. I am exactly half of your weight. I weigh 165 pounds right now. 1,700 calories is actually below my basal metabolic rate that I will not eat below, and I weigh half your weight. My metabolism will come screeching to a halt if I eat 1,700 calories a day. And you're asking about whether you should be eating at that level at twice my weight. The lowest number you should ever consider eating below is your current BMR of 2,800 calories. Did you know that at your height and activity level, eating 1,800 calories per day is what a man who weighs 85 pounds eats to maintain his weight? If you don't believe me, plug those numbers in for yourself at our website. So if you continue to eat 1,800 calories a day, eventually you would weigh 85 pounds.
So if you want to lose this weight in 6 to 8 months using the guidelines we use here on Fat to Fit Radio, then eating like that thinner person you like to become is what you want to do. You'd lose the weight in approximately a year and a half. This time frame, which is a little longer than you might like, is reasonable. But you have to remember, you don't gain weight like this in 6 to 8 months. You spent maybe the last 10 years putting on this weight. Don't expect it to come off in 1/20th that time. It will take longer. Life will get in the way. You'll have plateaus. Everyone does. The key is to not get discouraged and stick with your plan until you reach your goal. Unfortunately, fat is a lot easier to put on than it is to get off.
I think what's really important is that you have to understand the sheer amount of fat that you want to lose. If you just look at the numbers, 100 pounds is 350,000 negative calories. The most important question that you can ask yourself, and be truly honest here, is how long do you want the weight to stay off? Is it a month, 3 months, a year, 2 years? What is the answer? The more drastic and difficult a weight loss plan is from your maintenance level at the very end, the less likely that you'll succeed in the medium or long term. You said that you've heard this all before, and I'm sure that you have. From your perspective, and I believe most people think this, who are overweight, all of the thin, healthy people who tend to offer you advice on weight loss and tell you to go slow probably have never been as large as you and don't understand the pain and the discomfort that you are in your own body right now. You need to change that unhappiness in yourself to motivate yourself not to say, I need to get as thin as fast as I can so the pain will go away. But you need to say, I'm going to do this right and this will never ever happen to me again. So really, you have two choices. Spend the next year and a half living a lifestyle of your goal weight or losing 30 or 40 pounds in a couple of months and then gaining back 20 or 30. Then you feel disappointed and ashamed of yourself again, and then you do the same thing over and over again. 10 years from now, which one will have the most impact on your health and happiness? You got to think about that. And one other thing, I suggest you listen to the last show where we read an email from David who lost 100 pounds in 3 years and has kept it off for 6 months. He did a true lifestyle change. Are you going to be as healthy and happy as he is in 3 years from now, or are you going to be just back on that merry-go-round again?
So now about your second question, the metabolic reset. If you listen back to our previous shows where we talk about changing your metabolism, you'll find that there is really only one way to do it, gaining muscle. The more lean muscle you have, the more calories you will burn. Losing muscle through improper dieting is very easy. Gaining it back is extremely hard. Professional bodybuilders that work out full-time tend to be able to put on about 10 pounds per year if you look at their stats from year to year. And that is with pharmaceutical help. losing 100 pounds in 6 months could easily be 70 pounds of fat and 30 pounds of muscle or lean body mass. That could take you many, many years in the gym to gain that muscle back. You just can't reset that much damage to a metabolism overnight.
And for the actual term metabolism reset, that is just a BS marketing term that people are using on certain products out there that we don't recommend. Your basal metabolic rate has the greatest impact and muscle has the greatest impact on your BMR.
All right, good. And let's get into our second email. And this one is from Rachel. And she writes, "Hello, Russ and Jeff. Love your show. You've been a real inspiration to me and motivation for me on my own weight loss journey. This might sound like a stupid question, but should you have a healthy snack even if you're not hungry?
For example, I eat breakfast about 7 a.m. every day. I have either a bowl of cereal with milk and glass of OJ, or I have two eggs with one slice of whole wheat toast and a glass of OJ. I have a morning snack of an apple and string cheese or cheese cubes at about 10 to 10:30 a.m., which holds me till lunch at 12:30 or 1 p.m. When I eat cereal, I'm hungry by 10:30 and eat my apple and cheese. When I eat my eggs, I'm not really hungry for my morning snack and have found I can go until 12:30 without eating. By that time, I am hungry for lunch. But for the past few weeks, I've eaten my mid-morning apple even when I'm not hungry because I've heard you guys talk about eating every 3 hours or so, and I want to keep my metabolism going. But I have this nagging feeling that I really shouldn't be eating unless I'm hungry. I'm also worried about eating enough calories to promote weight loss. Keep up the good work. You should know you touch people's lives. Rachel."
All right, so Rachel, it's not a stupid question whether you should eat a snack even if you aren't hungry. You aren't the first person to ask this. So just a couple key points. People with very slow metabolisms eat few meals and aren't hungry. Many people who skip breakfast every day are not hungry until lunch. Those people, their metabolism has slowed down where they're not hungry in that morning snack meal. The most important thing to do is that you don't eat too many calories during the entire day, above your BMR and lower than your body needs right now to maintain its current weight is what you want to be eating.
And the perfect weight loss program is one where you actually feel guilty because you seem like you're always eating and never feeling hungry. And at the end of the week, you discover that you're always losing weight. You can't do this with anything crazy like 5 pounds of weight loss per week. But continuing to lose that 0.5 to 1 pound of fat per week without ever feeling hungry is very attainable. And there's three main keys to do this. Number one, eat clean, healthy foods, nothing processed. You simply get to eat much more food. Eating a meal with a lean chicken breast, some brown or basmati rice, and a pile of veggies will take you 10 or 15 minutes to eat and be much more healthy and filling for you than just one of those supposed healthy bars from the store that you can eat in 3 bites. Number two, eat a lean protein with every single meal if you can. You discovered what the research has been telling us all along about protein. It keeps you fuller longer. I can't make it through the morning myself without being hungry if I eat cereal in the morning either. Number three, keep eating often. You don't have to have a full meal each time, just as long as you're eating something. This is preventative to keep your metabolism fired up. I don't know if you ever heard of Jay Cutler. He's just this massive bodybuilder. He has either been Mr. Olympia or been the runner-up for the past 9 years. He actually gets up in the middle of the night to have another meal just to make sure his metabolism is always going full speed. The bottom line is, as long as you're following these concepts and monitoring your results, you can adjust things. If you find that you aren't losing weight, reduce your calories a little bit more. If you find that you're hungry later at night, make your mid-morning snack a little smaller and your nighttime snack a little bit bigger. So just monitor your results and you will do fine.
Yeah, you know, I find that that mid-morning snack I'm not really wanting, but I'll go ahead and eat it anyway. But that afternoon snack, boy, if I don't have a something real filling, you know, a nice chicken sandwich or something, or like you said, that chicken, rice, and vegetables that we've talked about previously, that afternoon snack becomes really important because come dinner time, I am starving if I don't have that afternoon snack.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's move on to our third item. And this came from Scott, and he was writing in about Russ's plantar fasciitis. And he wrote, "Russ, I am a new listener. Awesome site and podcast. Heard in your podcast number 28 that you had plantar fasciitis. I, too, am a big guy. Started my weight loss at around 370 pounds, currently around 335. Last fall, I was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis after doing probably too much walking in bad shoes. I found Z-Coil shoes, and they are great. We'll leave a link in the show notes. I'm not associated with the company. I simply believe in their shoes. At my worst, my foot was so bad, I nearly needed a crutch to walk to the bathroom in the morning. 30 minutes in these shoes, and the pain was gone. If I wear other shoes, I still have the issue. I now wear the shoes to work and to work out. The only time I do not wear them is when I play racquetball. Yeah, they do look a little silly, but they are great. My wife will wear her Z-coils to work since she's a teacher and stands most of the day. Thanks, guys. Scott.
Yes, I wanted to add this information here on the show because, you know, if you don't have plantar fasciitis, you cannot understand the pain. Just like Scott mentioned, the day after I hurt my foot, I woke up and I had to hop on my one good foot to the bathroom from the bed because I could not walk on it. It was so painful. Now, I don't know what would be more painful, the pain from these, the plantar fasciitis itself, or having people stare and gawk at you with these shoes. Now, they are just some of the silliest looking shoes you ever saw. They have a giant coil on the heel. I'm sure that's part of the why they work, but they're very silly looking. But if they do work and you have this plantar fasciitis, I would suggest you check them out. So they'll have a link in the show notes, like Jeff said. And so check those out.
That's right. A lot of problems that people have with their feet and their legs, having extra weight that you're carrying around just makes it harder on your body, and it strains those muscles, and it's a little bit harder to heal from these injuries.
Exactly right. Well, I want to thank Scott and Rachel and the other Scott for sending those questions. Appreciate that. And you can send us your questions or comments, and there are a few ways to do that. The first is by leaving a comment over at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fat2fitradio.com.
The third way is a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over at the website, fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fat2fitsupport.com.
All right, now we're going to tackle a couple of news items on the web report. And today, Jeff has an article on a diet drug with a few side effects.
That appetite suppressant is amazing.
Homer, you really have no desire to eat that food?
Food? I'm blind!
Who's going to buy a pill that makes you blind?
We'll let marketing worry about that.
So what we're talking about here are hydroxy-cut products. You've probably seen this all over the news in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to link to an article that comes from CNN.com. And this product, hydroxy-cut, I guess there's 14 different products. They have shakes and pills and all these different things. And their advertisements, they show a thinner and a heavier person, the exact same person, several months apart, walking side by side on a beach saying, we lost all this weight by using this product. And we always talk about these shortcuts that don't really work. Hydroxycut is not a regulated product. It is considered a dietary supplement. So it's not tested for safety, just like regular medications are. And big surprise, the FDA has been recalling all Hydroxycut products after 23 liver injuries and one death. So damage is coming from liver failure, jaundice, seizure, cardiovascular problems, and this is happening several years after the product was released and it's getting more popular, and it's just turning out to be a dangerous product. I'm sure a lot of these people, especially this dead person, is probably just wishing that they hadn't tried for these shortcuts, that they just, you know, cut back on what they're eating and exercised a little bit more.
You know, and these advertisements that you see with this hydroxycut on them are very compelling. You know, if you turn to many pages of a men's fitness magazine, or a women's magazine, Shape, or Women's Fitness, they are littered with these types of advertisements, and particularly hydroxycut. And there's always this, you know, portly woman, say, on the side on the women's magazine, and then this very fit woman, you know, in a bikini on the second side, right, the before and after. And you think any reasonable person might go, oh, well, that's an amazing product. I need to get that. But number one, you're emptying your pockets for very little benefit because, again, they're only going to tell you, eat less, exercise more, and take this product. But number two, you're probably going to hurt yourself, liver, or kill yourself.
That's right. And I have another story here, and it comes from people.com, and it's Kirstie Alley. Yes, I gained 83 pounds. She was the Jenny Craig spokesmodel for 3 years. She lost 75 pounds on Jenny Craig. And of course, Jenny Craig, this is a 1,200 calorie program for most people. They do not encourage you to exercise. She was starving herself. She was eating below her BMR. And so what happens after 3 years when she leaves Jenny Craig? Of course, 83 pounds comes back on. She lost 75 on this horrible kind of diet that's too low calorie. As soon as she stops, it was not a lifestyle change. All the weight came back, plus more. This is something that really did not surprise me. Of course, she could keep it off for 3 years while she's being paid to look good and promote their products. But in reality, you take it off this quick, it's going to come back. I get really kind of mad when I see people like Kirstie Alley who lose weight quick and she goes on Oprah and does all these tours and she gets on all the magazine covers and everyone says, that was such a great job. I can lose weight fast like that and I'm going to be happy for years and years. And then the after effects, it doesn't work for anyone when you don't change your lifestyle. So as you can see, I've been on a bit of a rant for the whole show so far, people wanting to lose weight, and it's just time and time again, it fails. And it's so obvious that it's going to happen to people. The quicker you lose it, the quicker you gain it back. So Russ, hopefully we can get off my rant here. What do you have for us this week?
So I have an article here about a local man, if you live in Pittsburgh, that walked himself to major weight loss. And the guy's name is Jim Obley. And he, nearly a year ago, his car broke down. And so he had to start walking. And it's kind of like a Forrest Gump kind of thing, you know? You know, he run, Forrest, run. Well, this was walk, Jim, walk. And so he walked off 146 pounds in about a year. And it's just an amazing story. You watch him in the video, and he went from a size 46 waist to a size 32 waist. Now, this has been about 4 years since he lost the weight, and he's kept it off, and he's still walking. And he looks very fit, and looks like he's doing everything right. You know, he's just exercising and eating well. And so those of you who think, you know what, walking is not a viable exercise, you know, here is the living proof that walking and eating the correct amount of calories, you will get down to the weight that you should be.
That's right. And ultimately, it is a calories in versus calories out. So any exercise that you're capable of doing, if you put in the time, even if it's slow, it does help in your weight loss.
Yep. I have another quick little thing here. If you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, you might want to check this out. It's a BMR calculator. Now, we've also created, we have a free one over at the website, fattofitradio.com/BMR, still being developed again. But if you have 99 cents and an iPhone, there is a cool little iPhone app, BMR Calc, and it does everything that that you need to calculate your BMR and get your, including your physical activity, that multiplier. And it's an easy way to keep that with you. And if you want to check it or help somebody out, show them that information if they so choose to. And so it might be something you want to look at. Check it out in the show notes.
Sounds good. Well, let's move into the feature section. And the feature section this week, we are talking about two problems that are related together. In most of the world right now, in the last year, the price of food has gone up. At the same time, the world's economy has turned down and a lot of people are losing their jobs. Two things that do not go well together and which is really a struggle for a lot of people to eat healthy.
Yep. If you listen back to the show in 2008, Jeff had a resolution. He was going to eat an apple a day. So apples in Canada happen to cost about a dollar a piece. So that little resolution cost Jeff $365 throughout the year. That's just not right. Eating healthy and getting lean shouldn't cost you more than just eating the typical high-fat, high-sugar processed food diet that so many people in developed countries are currently consuming.
So we've come up with 10 tips that will hopefully save you money, but the most important thing is not just to save money, but to be able to eat healthy on a budget. We can all buy cheap garbage processed food, which doesn't do anybody any good for vitamins, health, weight loss. They're just bad for you. So we're trying to give you advice how to eat well on less money.
So the first one here on the list is buy the less expensive generic or store brands. The store brands are often the same as the major label brands. Sometimes they'll get an order from, say, the major label brand of something, brand X. Meanwhile, they also have a label here for store brand Y, and they just put a different label on, but it's the same exact food, but you'll pay less because it doesn't have that Hormel or Del Monte brand on it.
And some things may be slightly different, but when I'm looking at a bag of mixed vegetables and I buy 8 or 9 bags every 2 to 3 weeks, I'm looking at a difference of $4.99 or $2.34. That's a huge savings, and I can't tell the difference between them.
So next one here on the list is eggs and beans. They can be great alternatives to meat. You don't always have to eat your lean protein as a piece of meat. There are alternatives out there.
I think a big one that people really don't consider is don't eat out. Preparing your own meals is always cheaper and almost always definitely healthier.
Now, another item here on the list, and this is one of my favorites, buy lean meat in bulk and then divide it up and freeze it. Now, if you go to one of these big box stores like a Costco or Sam's Club here, you can buy huge, giant portions of meat. It would be good for 15 people. You take that home, divide it into some Ziploc bags, put it in the freezer, and you've got meat for the next 3 or 4 months. Paid much less than you would have bought the little single portions just for one person or two, and you save a lot of money that way.
That's right. I buy my chicken breasts in a box, which is a 4-kilogram box, which is just under 9 pounds, and I generally pay around $35 to $40, depending on the sale price, and that is usually about half the price if you buy just the fresh, small packages of chicken. The next point, a lot of us have heard over and over, but don't go shopping when you're hungry. You're just asking to buy junk food and stuff that you really don't need. A good suggestion here is to plan your meals out maybe a week ahead so you know what you want to be shopping for and actually make a grocery list. It stops all of these impulse buys that really aren't the healthiest choices most of the time. Although I've never really had an impulse buy to buy lettuce, but you know.
All right, the next one I want to mention here is buying your produce locally, like at a farmer's market instead of the grocery store. Now, here in Long Beach, we have multiple farmers markets all around, and people bring in their produce that they grow in these community gardens or just local small little farms, and you can get great deals there. Now, right by my office, there's a farmers market on Fridays, and I can buy a big 5-pound bag of oranges for only a dollar. And so if I go to the grocery store, I'm going to pay $1.29 minimum a pound for those same oranges. It is such a better deal.
Or like most other people who don't live in a nice warm place for us, everything that you have there for $1.29 gets shipped up here. We get all the California oranges, which are, you know, probably double the price. But farmers markets we still do have. We just only have them for a couple months a year. But a big thing, we were talking about this last week, about not buying sodas and other sugary drinks. Just buying sports drinks, sodas, this really adds up. Drinking water is free. And now there's all this talk about don't buy bottled water because it's hurting the environment because of all the plastic, etc. Water is pretty much free. The money savings and benefits of drinking water are totally eclipsed by the health benefits.
Definitely true. Another one here, I am not myself a coupon cutter, but boy, there are some great deals to be had with coupons, especially if you combine a coupon with some kind of in-store special. Oh, you can get amazing deals. I've watched a 2020 or Dateline show. Yeah, the women that who were on the show, they were using coupons and using in-store specials, were sometimes paying 20 cents for, say, a box of cereal, which I wouldn't recommend getting, but that kind of savings can be had. I mean, there are some point in the past where you could get double coupons. And then in college, there was a woman that was in front of me buying food. She got coupons. Her sister sent them to her from Arizona. Well, they don't have double coupons, so the coupons are bigger. She sent them to here to California. They were still good. She was paid for her groceries. She was paid $15 for this whole basket full of groceries. The store paid her. It was amazing.
And here's another one, making your own snacks. Now, you can make healthy snacks, but even if you don't have the most healthy snack, if you go to a vending machine and find one of the healthier granola bars, you're still going to pay 2 to 3 times the price if you go to the store and buy a box of granola bars and bring them with you. It's so simple. It's just that, of course, if you're buying things individually later on in the middle of the day, it's going to cost a lot more than buying them before at the grocery store.
Now, the last one we have here is cooking in bulk. Now, Jeff mentioned he buys a gigantic box of chicken. But when you cook in bulk, you can create meals that per meal cost so much less than if you bought small little individual items to prepare those meals. Jeff prepares 35 meals for his lunches at one time. If you try to do that every single day and you took this small pack of chicken and cooked your rice again, and you just would not get the same kind of economies of scale that you do by preparing these large amounts of meals in advance.
That's right. I thought my meals were really expensive because I spend a little over $80 getting ready to do, you know, a couple hours of cooking. But really, that's 35 meals, and that works out to about $2.30 a meal. And what I'm eating is just kind of like a Chinese food meal. It's got, you know, rice and vegetables and chicken and spices and everything in there. And it's dirt cheap. It is amazing what you can do. And if you're cooking ahead of time, there's not all these leftovers that you're throwing out. You're putting them into containers. You're freezing them. And if you get tired of eating it, it just stays in your freezer for an extra month or two, and then you can eat it. One other thing, if you have prepared meals, you're never going to be tempted because you have to go out and eat because there's nothing in the house to eat. You always have something there just for emergencies.
Yeah, I think out of all these things, this list of 10 here, that easily the don't eat out is going to be the one that saves you the most money. I mean, you mentioned $2.50, even $3. I defy anybody, unless you go to the dollar menu maybe at McDonald's, and I wouldn't call that a meal. You will always be able to have better tasting, healthier meal by cooking your own food than you will by eating out. It's just, you're going to save an amazing amount of money by doing that on a regular basis.
And one other thing about buying in bulk and preparing your meals ahead of time, it reminds me of people who are like Olympic athletes. They eat, live, and sleep their sport and their training. If you are serious about weight loss and changing your lifestyle, you have to live that lifestyle 24 hours a day. If you spend time cooking and preparing your meals and calculating things out, whatever it takes, you are in that mind frame for longer, hours at a time, about losing weight. It's not mindless eating. It's not just like going through the drive-thru and getting whatever is available. If you put the effort in, you're more likely to actually spend the time eating properly and eating those meals.
Yeah, the benefit, other than eating the correct number of calories, is you learn what a portion is. You learn what 4 ounces of chicken looks like. I have my scale out when I do this, and I know exactly now. I can look at a piece of chicken, and I know exactly how many ounces that is now. I don't have to guess anymore. I know, like, within, just a very small margin, I know exactly what these things look like, how many calories I'm going to eat, because I have done it now so many times that it just becomes second nature.
Well, speaking of food, let's move on to the recipe of the week. What do you have for us this week?
We had a suggestion last week that we should try a smoothie for breakfast. Now, I don't, I would wake up all the children in the morning if I made a smoothie, but I do enjoy them. So during this week, I got an email and it had a recipe for this interesting sounding smoothie. So I thought I'd make this our recipe this week. It's called the Spiced Banana Orange Smoothie. And for those of you who don't know, some smoothie is basically fruit, maybe some yogurt, and some ice. But this one throws in the spiced portion, a teaspoon of powdered ginger. So it looks pretty good, and so try it out. It's only 118 calories for half the recipe, so 240 for a full serving of this. So not bad as part of a breakfast. So check it out, the Spiced Banana Orange Smoothie.
That looks really good.
All right, Jeff, what kind of homework do we have for everybody at home this week?
I was doing a lot of searches this week through the Gallup polls to see a lot of statistics on weight loss and what people are doing. And according to Gallup, because of the economy, less people are eating out as often, but the 2009 stats show that 60% of Americans eat out at least once a week, 42% of Americans eat out twice a week, and 18% eat out three or more times per week. The challenge this week is to cut back how much you personally eat out by at least a half. There's always going to be some special occasions where you need to eat out, but the benefits of preparing your own meals health-wise and financially far outweigh the convenience. So very simple this week, cut back. It goes with our feature section, and it's going to actually help your health and your weight loss.
I will do that. And Jeff, finally, what is our motivational quote for this week?
Well, we had a lot of themes that went through the show, but this quote is for all of the people who are desperate to lose weight quickly. The author is unknown, but here's the quote. If you don't have time to do it right, you must have time to do it over.
I like it. I like it. Again, I want to thank everybody for participating in this show by sending in their emails and comments. That's awesome. We really, really enjoy those. All the links to everything we talked about will be on the show notes at fat2fitradio.com. With that, we'll say goodbye until next time. We'll see you later.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.